Hey guys, I'm Chris.
Hey everybody, I'm Robert.
And we're the Film Flamers.
And it's time for us to shoot the flames because it's the start of May 24.
That's right. With new tradition over the last year, right? We covered a bunch of A24 and we thought, hey, May 24 kind of works-ish. And so this is actually May 24.
That's right. It's gonna be May 24.
God damn it. Yeah, so 2024, and it's May, and it's A24 month, so we're gonna actually cover Hereditary.
That's right.
And then we're gonna give you all of the choices over on Patreon to choose your own A24 favorite for us to cover over there on the Patreons. And we're also gonna give you another top 10, finally. And this one's gonna be Dolby Shocks, or Jump Scares, whatever you wanna call it.
That's right. But before we get into any of those things, we have to talk about your comments and questions and reviews. Let's read our new review, Chris.
Oh my God. It says, quote,
we don't have one.
Oh, that's the template.
I feel like last month we were embarrassed by our riches of three reviews and we don't have a review to read. So maybe next time, y'all, if you head over to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, you can leave us a 5-star review and tell us why you like us. We'll read that on the next Shooting the Flames. Because remember, we are inching ever closer to 100 ratings and reviews. And then we can apply to be rotten on Tomatoes. But we do have lots of comments, questions, voicemails, and emails to get into. So let's do it.
First up, from our bonus Brightest Flame Awards for Best Makeup Artist. This was from like five years ago.
That's right. This is like first season Film Flamer stuff.
We haven't brought back the Brightest Flame Awards since like the two or three that we did.
That's right.
Because we have vowed to do the Flamies.
We are one day going to do the Flamies.
The Flame Awards.
Although, like, that got really involved. We were talking about involving other podcasts and things like that. But I think now we could agree that
it's just going to be the Flamies.
We don't need them. No. We're just going to do our own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We'll have a Patron's Choice Award.
Yes. All right. Let's get that on the docket
for each category. Okay. It'll be like an audience award and a Rotten Tomato score. It'll be us and then it'll be the Patrons.
That's right. So a Flamies and then the Patrons.
Mm-hmm.
What's that comment from that long ago episode?
Yeah. So Glazed Donut over on Patreon said, I completely agree with Rick Baker getting this award. The versatility in his work throughout the 80s and 90s is still impressive. Although not a horror film, he worked on Coming to America, which is one of my favorite uses of makeup. I also have to give an honorary mention to Vanille, who has won 3 Academy Awards for makeup, one of which was for Beetlejuice. So much respect to all makeup artists, known and unknown.
Well, Glazed Donut, you are bringing all the blasts from the past lately. And yeah, Rick Baker is an amazing makeup artist. And Vanille is really, really good too. I love her on that reality show that's on Sci-Fi with all the like makeup artists. You ever watch that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, she's cool. She seems very hippie-like.
Mm-hmm.
So all the props to Vanille. From our bonus episode, Flamer's Flashback into Noah, Bennett over on Patreon said, I saw this opening night in 2014, oh so long ago, and it just may be the strangest blend of unique artistic vision and mainstream spectacle I've ever seen. There were only moments of brilliance punctuating what was otherwise a highly uneven mess. I can just imagine the battles between Paramount and Darren Aronofsky during production, not to mention having to contend with stupid evangelical Christians ranting about it being directed by a Harvard-educated Jew before its release. Nothing questionable there. However, by the time the end credits rolled, I found myself simply going, meh.
I liked it. I thought it worked as a really good high fantasy film. So if you want to know our opinions on it and its horror adjacency, you can go listen to that. It's a bonus episode.
That's right. I also liked Noah, and it was my first watch of that movie. Mm. And it was not what I was expecting at all.
It's got some great acting in it.
I enjoyed it way more than I was expecting to.
Yeah.
So
it's not what you think. From our 1968 Night of Living Dead episode, Glazed Donut over on Patreon said, although I have seen the 90s remake countless times, this was my first watch of the original version, and it was more satisfying than I thought it would be. I knew the ending, but Ben still had me rooting for him, and for that, I give Dwayne Jones all the credit. I know George Romero didn't mean it to be a social commentary, but I have to think that Dwayne Jones had awareness of how his character would be seen and wanted to portray a competent, strong, yet sympathetic person who was just trying to survive. It's also depressing to see that there are still gun-toting vigilantes in existence who think that it's their responsibility to save the world while simultaneously making it more dangerous.
You're here. I can't believe this was your first watch of the original movie Glazed Donut, and I'm glad that you liked it, having seen the remake so many times. Dwayne Jones is amazing in this movie, and I feel like we talked about that a lot
during
that episode.
It's one of our favorite things about it, and so is the social commentary, right? And I feel like it wasn't written that way, but it was then directed that way, right? Based on, I think that's the consensus that we came to just on our research.
I think they knew what they were doing.
Obviously. Yeah, once they were doing it, once he cast him, yeah.
And I also feel like George Romero, when he makes a movie with some sort of message in it, like, he knows the message, you know? Like, he doesn't always have messages in film. Some of his movies are just horror movies, you know? But, like, when he goes in there, he really goes in there. So I don't think we should expect it, but, I mean, it's present. Mm-hmm. From our bonus Flamers flashback episode in the Valentine, Julia Allison over on Patreon said, I think someone put this film on at a high school slumber party, and all I can remember is some chick not having a great day in a spa because of a drill and an enclosed lid. Correct film?
Yes.
We'll listen to the episode now, as I'm curious about the comments you made in a later episode about the great music. Did we say it was great?
It was iconic. We'll say that. It was very early thousands.
Yes. I remember liking a lot of those songs back then. So.
Yes.
Okay. Well.
It dates the movie, though, horrifically.
It really, really does. Julia, let us know what you thought about the episode after listening to it. And maybe go back and pick up Valentine again and watch it post-high school slumber party.
From our deep dive into I Am Legend, Julia Allison over on Patreon said, I had to look up when this film came out, as I remember being scared when watching it, especially when Smith's character chased after Sam the dog into the dark building. I was 17 at the time. I disliked horror. I had only watched two horror films, The Blair Fucking Witch when I was 9 and The American Ring when I was 12. These two films had set me up to never want to watch horror again, as they both made me paranoid some sad witchy bitch ghost was going to get me at 3 a.m. But I loved the post-apocalyptic genre, so I Am Legend was a gateway horror for me. I actually think this film will be Will Smith's comeback. Though it's based on a book, the imagery of the film is so tied to him, and if he helps produce it, then I can see studios giving him a pass. Because money. Whenever the character is dead or not is irrelevant, as cinema is having a retcon moment. Not sure how I feel about that yet. I'm looking at you, Alien Romulus. Smith's crimes, though shocking and provide terrible model for young men dealing with emotions via violence, seem formidable given the nature of Hollywood. He's no Kevin Spacey, Roman Polanski, or even Weinstein. Though I can't think of anyone off the top of my head, I'm sure there are other actors who have been at the same level of disgrace and come back. Our family dog was a sweet German shepherd called Florence, and can attest that they are the most loyal dog. Aww. If you're at the end of the world, swap your Devon Rexes for a German shepherd. Fuck you! My Devon Rexes are amazing. Those cats would sell your soul for one whiff of KFC, while a shepherd will protect you to the end. I believe the dog actor is still alive. Hang on, let me see. Abby the dog from My Own Legend is now 16 years old. Yep. Great episode, boys.
Allison, don't you also have Devon Rexes? I mean, I feel like they would be capable of things during the apocalypse.
They ride around on my shoulder all day. Like, they're little monkeys. They're little gremlins.
Can you teach them to hunt, though, and bring it back to you?
Yes, constantly.
Okay. All right. Well, then good. We have hope.
They already do that.
I really like that you call this gateway horror for you, because I don't know if that's something that we talked about when we were talking about this movie, because Chris and I were adults when we watched this.
That's right. And it could have been, because it seemed kind of just like sci-fi action or whatever, probably from the trailers. But, you know.
But for a whole generation of people, like, this could easily be gateway horror, something PG-13 that's accessible for them to see without a grown-up accompanying them to theater, right? So,
and this is post, I want to say this is post 9/11, and this is certainly post that big school shooting. Columbine.
Yep.
Because before that, I remember being able to kind of get into whatever we wanted. Mm-hmm. And after that, things kind of shut down for kids.
That's right. The amount of movies that were rated R that I saw on a random Sunday, because my parents dropped me off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yep. Yeah.
Gets pre-Matrix and post-Matrix.
Oof. My God, I feel old.
Mm-hmm.
Battle Burrito over on Patreon said, this movie was such a disappointment for me because I was 100% on board with the tension vibe until when the first Dark Seeker roared at him. I forgot they're called Dark Seekers. The combination of the poor CGI, bad aesthetic, decisions, and a complete heel turn of the mood killed it for me. If I remember correctly, the book ended up being a sort of reverse vampire story. The main character hunts and kills the infected while they sleep, and they see him as the same sort of monster that we see vampires. In the end of the novel, he is captured and set to be executed by the new society and realizes that he will probably end up as a legend, hence the title, in the new society. Obviously, the alternate ending of the movie is much more in line with the novel. The problem for me is that we never see any evidence of new society and culture really develop like it does in the book. We never see the infected talk, communicate, or display in any sort of fear of Will Smith. The infected in the book are terrified of this daywalking, family murdering, and wife stealing monster.
Yeah, I really feel like The Girl with All the Gifts does a better job of that.
Yep, for real. It does. And now that you're talking about this, I know there is a Simpsons Treehouse of Horror segment where they're fighting mutants, right? And it's kind of like that. So I can see all that, Battle Burrito, for sure.
From our Shooting the Flames back in April, Glazed Donut over on Patreon said, I paused my listening of the episode when Robert said, hi, Glazed Donut. And my stupid ass raised my hand and said, hi back. That's the example of my mind the last couple of weeks. Also, The Night of the Hunter is one of my favorite horror and suspense films, and it holds a special place in my heart because it was my mother's favorite film.
Ooh.
I watched this film at least once a year, and although I'm dreading a remake, I hope it inspires a new generation to discover the original. The original movie had a twisted fairy tale feel to it, and it was way before its time.
Hi, Glazed Donut, and I 100% agree with you. I really like Night of the Hunter. It's one of the like earlier like classic movies that I watched when I was a kid that I thought, wow, this is like horror adjacency at its finest, right? It was like teetering on horror. And I really, really like that movie. So I am also a little worried about a remake, but I feel like it will make me want to watch the original even more, right? So, and it's something we should put on the docket for sure.
Yeah.
Julia Allison over on Patreon said, I love that you both read mine and Sinistero's letter. I forgive you for talking about Madonna. You still said your names, LOL. And yes, Sinistero and I do know each other, and I got him onto the podcast. We met on a Borderlands, it's a video game Discord server, about 5 to 6 years ago. We've never met in person, but we chat all the time, even though we don't play Borderlands anymore. I want to go to America to see the festival and see my mate. Maybe call him a cunt, too. Cunt.
And she goes on to say she can't upload photos of her Devin Rex, but you can see him on Insta at Kentucky Fried Lorem. And then she said she wanted to see pictures of mine, so I sent her mine. But you can follow her on Instagram and see all of her wonderful Devin Rex photos.
They are very, very cute kittens,
for
sure. Nonsense over on Spotify said, hey, y'all, I definitely agree with you on Romulus. I just don't get the decision to abandon David's story, especially with fans starting to come around to it. Blomkamp's take would be very cool.
That's true, and it's more of a sequel to Aliens. This is more of a sequel or prequel to Alien, right? So it's supposed to take place before
Aliens.
Alien. Right. But after Prometheus Covenant. Right. So it's alluding that there is, they've alluded in the background that it is, you know, connecting and being more of a bridge than we previously thought.
Oh, I thought it was supposed to take place 17 years after Alien.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I thought it was 17 years before Alien.
I really thought it was between Alien and Aliens.
Well, shit.
But who knows? I could have read that completely wrong.
I did read that there was a connective tissue. Either way.
There is. I mean, it does connect to like the original films more than the Prometheus and Covenant of it all.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, the more I see like of behind the scenes things about Romulus, the more excited I get about it. I've rewatched the trailer and I like at first I was just like, no, I don't want this. And that's originally not how I felt about Prometheus. I was very, very on board. So, and everything that we've learned about that movie or how we feel about Prometheus and Covenant after the fact, I need to just like go into this movie and just accept it for
what it is. Yeah, not expected to walk on water or anything, and just go in there and expect some nice physical prop horror, you know, and gore and stuff.
That's right. All the things that I've seen, all the practical effects in this movie, I'm just like, okay, I'm kind of on board for it.
Yeah.
So
Anthony over on Patreon says, Chris says gapes at 4814, and I've listened to it 3 times, clutching my gay pearls each time. So what happened was I was talking about Alien Romulus bridging the gap, but I said gape.
Bridging the gape.
Something like that.
Clutching his gay pearls. How much do you like the word gape, Anthony? Oh my God. I just clutched my own gay pearls. Look at that gape. I cannot wait until we do our porn thing later on at the end of this episode. Thank you, Anthony. Bonnie J over on Patreon said, 1, I agree that the very special episode of Buffy about date rape, Brock Turner, dude bro, and a giant snake demon phallus, he wishes, is largely skippable. But pretty much every episode, even the cringe variety or nostalgia clip bonus.
What?
Oh, thank you for that.
Nostalgia clip boner.
Nostalgia clip boner. 2, right before I went on my own very special comment about frat sexual assault, did I hear that Robert has never seen Coraline? No, I haven't. Wah, wah, wah. And Chris, I love you, but did you compare Coraline to Tim Burton and not even mention Neil mother effing Gaiman, the Dream King? What just happened? This response brought to you by probably one too many White Claw surges.
Yeah, I forgot. Sorry.
Didn't he write it?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay. But
the director of Nightmare on Christmas or whatever was not Tim Burton, right? And so he went on to do Coraline. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Okay. I fucking love this comment, though. Everything about it. First of all, nostalgia clip boner. Yes. secondly, I really, really like White Claws. But I hate a White Claw Surge. They just don't taste right to me. So Bonnie J, like, what are you doing? Just drink the regular White Claws. Also, if you like Trulies, this is a weird tangent, they come out with a higher alcohol content Truly that also doesn't taste good to me. I think I just like a moderately alcohol leveled seltzer.
Right.
And the only reason I know that Neil effing Gaiman is called the Dream King is from Tori Amos. So if you like Tori Amos, Bonnie J, she talks about Neil Gaiman all the times in her songs. So
you still need to watch the Sandman series.
I know. There's so many things I need to watch. Mm-hmm. People keep talking about baby reindeer.
Mm-hmm.
And I am like, sure.
Okay. From our Hot Takes episode of Overlook Film Festival 2024, William Skinner over on Facebook said, "We missed you. Thank you for adding more movies to my watch list. I look forward to the upcoming releases, and I'm ready for The Spiders this weekend." Yeah, it's out now.
That's right.
Yeah, Infested, the French spider movie that we loved so much, is out on Shudder right now.
Someone that I follow on Letterboxd gave it 2 stars, and I was just like, the fuck you say?
I saw that.
Anyway, everyone go watch The Spider movie. It's good.
It's one of our listeners, actually.
Oh, well, do better.
Do better. Be best.
Be best.
That's Melania says.
Chris and I don't often take like long breaks in our podcast episodes, and I don't. 2 weeks isn't that long, but
that's the longest I think we've ever gone. Well, yeah. We've probably done that before, at least maybe like during a Christmas or something.
Maybe, but yeah, you know, with travel and watching like 1,001 movies back to back to back.
Yeah, but we've pretty much been, you know, 3-4 times a month for 5 years straight.
That's right.
So yeah, I get it. I missed us too.
I mean, yeah, I really did miss us too as well. We have some comments and questions and miscellaneous stuff. Bennett sent us an email and he said, glad to hear you had fun at Madonna's concert. I haven't kept up on her lately, except for that time where she recently came out, kind of, sort of. But after a lengthy discussion about her in your April Shooting the Flames episode, I was reminded that RuPaul has some choice words about her in a recent New Yorker interview. Don't know if you hit a paywall or not, but take a crack at this. Quote, RuPaul treats most celebrities he's encountered with diplomacy, if not reverence. An exception is Madonna, whom he describes giving him a snarl of contempt at a club in the 80s. In aging, there is a natural flow, he told me. And when you're against the flow, it doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right. The energy around the Madonna thing, it feels weird, right? He referred to chasing arena tours and grills in your teeth. He added, I'm not interested in appealing to 11 to 25-year-olds. I'm just not. I can, on a bigger level, as a mother. As Mama Ru, it's a different relationship. I'm not trying to be them.
Ooh, burn.
Yeah, that is kind of a burn. I don't know that she's trying to be anyone else, but I also feel like we've talked about Madonna enough on Shooting the Flames episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So, every little thing that she says or does.
She's hung up. Just hang up the phone.
Stop talking to us, Madonna.
Alex sent us an email and said, dearest tired of waiting in lines, Queens.
Hi, Alex.
It was really great to be able to participate in the film festival once more. Despite some issues with the lines, it was fun time, if not incredibly draining. Most of your top picks reflected my favorites as well. Infested had me actively freaked, since I'm not a fan of most insects and arachnids, but it was very enjoyable to get that wigged out by a movie. Red Rooms is a must-see horror-adjacent film. It has some brilliant tension built up, but for whatever reason, it especially got me in the scenes showing the ease of how security can be bypassed with tech. I really can't wait until it's available so I can be able to share it with others and MTV's Dan Cortez. See, Arcadian for the monster designs alone, them hands, some amazing stuff in there, in a violent nature, did not disappoint. A horror fan must, especially when it is at its most creative. And I really enjoyed Sleep for its psychological horror, though I must have missed the early flag for the twist. It was pretty late, though, so maybe that played a part. Ha. Huh. As for TV Glow, it's a much better film than the director's last, at least. I just feel like they need to work more on their narrative structure in the future, but it still wasn't something I could say I enjoyed. Great soundtrack, though. I believe the queer and especially trans community will resonate with some of the feelings and emotions explored, like finding connection with others for the first time and being true to your actual self, but I don't think that they'll pull it off successfully in the end as a story. Maybe it wasn't for me either, despite resonating with some things explored at times, but for certain, it was not a horror movie aside for some mostly creepy, if not interesting, designs. Good to see Amber Benson, though. Anywho, I hope more people will be inclined to check out The Overlook in the future and are eager to check out the movies y'all covered in the episode. Dash, friend of the pod, Alex.
What is up with that fucking accent?
I don't know. I had to understand myself somehow when I presented with a wall of text.
I feel like I agree with most of the things that you said in those, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we had the opportunity to talk about them like right after the movies. As for TV Glow, let's never speak of it again.
Right. It's almost as if I've heard all of these opinions before.
That's right. But here, he has a platform for others to hear them as well, similar to our own.
But here, somehow, heartache feels good.
That's what some of those movies are missing. I need to see Nicole Kidman before each of those movies.
I want
to
make a horror movie where Nicole Kidman is trapped in that commercial.
God, yes.
She would totally do it.
The one thing I can say...
It'd be called the AMC Others.
I am your daughter. The only thing that I want to revisit about the TV Glow. What the fuck is that movie called? As the TV Glows? I saw the TV Glow.
I saw the TV Glow.
Okay. Yeah. Is the soundtrack. Right. Some of the artists in that, and they were in the movie, like wrote these songs for it. It's the only thing that I want. So when that movie comes out, I need the fucking soundtrack. Mm. And also, I agree. I want to show Red Rooms to people because I think it's just a really good movie. Do we have some voicemails?
We do.
Hey, it's the Scrotus. Hey, it's been a long time. So I wanted to start this long time coming back banter, I guess, about something interesting that I saw in the remake of Night of the Living Dead. The introduction of Todd, when he comes out of the car, there's a quick 3-second clip where you see this crowbar extend from his hand, and it's just the shot of his feet, and you see the crowbar kind of pop into the screen. And I swear, it's Candyman, but it predates Candyman. I just thought it was really queer, coincidental, I guess. The other thing I noticed, the captain choke on him, captain from Day of the Dead, I swear he does a cameo as a naked zombie, but it's only for a real brief second. I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, on a different note, I really hope you guys get to do Wild Zero. And I'm thinking right now, it looks like it might be the movie. And if so, I really, really, really encourage you to watch this together and have drink in hand, but do not drink an entire drink per beer mug that pops up or whatever. Or even if you don't have the drinking game on the DVD, watching it that way, still follow the rules. And like I said, within the first 20 minutes, you're not going to remember the last hour. If that's how long the movie is, it's pretty short. But it's a crazy ride. It's fun. Don't expect Oscar-winning performances. It's not that kind of movie. It's a very fun, stupid, silly. But it's a great way to look at a zombie movie from a very different perspective. It's great. Anyway, that's the Scrotus. That's all I got. Love you guys. It's been a long time. I really wanted to go to New Orleans to see y'all at the festival, but that ain't going to happen. I got other things in another state, but man, sure would be great. Anyway, maybe next time. Love you guys. Sweet dreams.
I think we got this right after we had actually recorded April's Shooting the Flames, like right after.
Okay.
And so it's a very late voicemail. So obviously Wild Zero did not win.
Nope.
And also no one could find it. It wasn't streaming anywhere. Mm-hmm. So I special ordered it. Actually, my husband did. And so it is sitting on our to watch pile. And so when we go and watch that, I will definitely have Robert over and maybe we can deep dive it sometime.
That's
and
right.
Actually do it, you know, as a deep dive.
I think that's the plan. And I will certainly be participating in a drinking game. Why not? That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I mean, for as long as I can handle it. But Scrotus did comment on our Facebook post for that Return of the Living Dead remake episode, and he provided a sort of gif of Tony Todd's crowbar extending near his feet, and it does look very Candyman-esque. And then he also provided a gif or screenshot of the choke on him captain from Day of the Dead making that cameo. It does look like him. So head over to our Facebook page and follow us if you have not, and you can see those gifs and see what you think.
Love you, Scrotus.
Love you, Scrotus. You always sound like the hottest daddy out for a walk every time you send us a voicemail.
Next up, we've got something from Kimberly.
Oh.
Hey, it's Kimberly. So we need to make a horror movie about Mercurian retrograde and a perimenopausal woman's hormones are fucking jacked all over the place because this month is bullshit. This month is utter bullshit. Also, the double latte might have been a poor decision. You know, might as well add fuel to the fire, right? Okay, I feel better now. Thanks, love you, bye.
We love you too, Kimberly.
Yeah, we do. It sounds like you need a hug.
Oh my God. Our trapped in the AMC commercial could be perimenopausal Nicole Kidman.
Oh my God. It is so funny that you mentioned Mercury and retrograde because I have also been having a not great time at like work, you know? And so I was walking down the hallway with one of my staff members and they were also commenting on how things are kind of shitty. And I was like, well, Mercury's in retrograde. I was like, I don't really know what that means, but people keep bitching about it. So, I mean, it's got to be a thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Kimberly. I hope you're doing better. And I hope that double latte helped instead of making things worse.
So this number that we miss, it's like a whole thing. And it's like them walking around and you can tell it's in their pocket. And then like you hear piss.
Can I hear it? It's kind of frightening.
Someone fess up. Who called us? Wash their hands.
They better wash their fucking hands.
I guess I could call the number.
I'm like, hey,
Chris and Robert, you have a steady stream.
Yeah, quite a pressure.
So anyway, that's that voicemail.
It's time to fess up, you guys. Who called us to let us listen to you pee? Like, really? And frankly, I'm going to call you out because I didn't hear you wash your fucking hands. I should have heard a steady, very pressure-filled stream of pee followed by a sink.
Who, like, butt dials, like, a podcast or a radio station and then goes to the bathroom?
I don't know.
It'd be hilarious.
I mean, you can tell us in private who you are. That's fine. We might shame you on a future episode of Shooting Flames. But we hope you all enjoyed that. We have some new patrons.
We do. We've got Canadian Matt, who joined us at the Film Sparker level.
And Andrew Bauer,
who also joined us at the Film Sparker level.
I like it when people put their nationality in front of their name so we know there's no guessing involved.
Well, my husband's Matt, so now I know there's Matt and then there's Canadian Matt.
That's right. And perhaps somewhere a British Matt.
Yes.
That's right. Welcome, guys, to the Patreon family. We're happy to have you. But we have to shout out the patrons of the Film Flamer tier or higher. And at the Inferno level, the highest level, we have Call Me Lestat,
Kimberly,
and Penelope.
At the Film Flamer tier, we've got Anthony,
Ashley,
Ben,
High Glazed Donut,
Jessica,
Lisa,
Nikki,
Rosie Red Leader,
Sinistero,
Wallstrich,
and William Skinner.
Thank you guys for continuing to be members of the Patreon family. If you would like to join, head over to patreon.com/thefilmflamers. Get all of our bonus content, early access to episodes, and chat, which they now have on both the app and online.
Right? Yeah, on web, yeah. Yep. On desktop or on your phone. So there's no excuse now. You have to join the chat. Also, we want to continue collecting mats. So if you're a mat and you've been wrestling with that most important life decision of whether you're going to become a patron for the Film Flamers or not, join up and put your nationality first.
It's good for us to have hobbies. And while we enjoy our podcast, we also like to be mat collectors.
Yeah. And yeah, if you're already in the U.S., just put New York mat or California mat.
That's right. But by God, not just mat.
Horror news. First up, we've got Bring Her Back, which is an announcement from A24 about their next horror movie from the Talk to Me directors.
That's right. So I felt like this is the perfect thing to kick off the horror news segment in May 24, because we really appreciate their horror movies and we really liked Talk to Me.
And the ones they pick up, because Talk to Me was not produced by A24.
And they are giving them money to do this. And this is not the sequel to Talk to Me, which unfortunately I think is going to be called Talk to Me 2.
Oh, yeah. Like T-O-O?
Yeah.
No. Yay!
Just 2. Come number on. 2. I know. I really missed an opportunity with that one. But A24 is keeping things very hush-hush about this movie, except that it is filmed in their homeland of Australia. So it's more Australian horror. But I'm expecting big things from them.
I really wanted the sequel to be called Talk to the Hand.
Or something to that effect, yeah. You know? At the very least, like, talk number two to me, you know? Come on. Whatever.
Talk to me.
Talk to you to me.
Fuck me. Okay. Next up, we've got Rosemary's Baby prequel, Apartment 7A, from Relic director, heads to Paramount Plus this Halloween. But not theaters?
No, not to theaters. So it is coming to Paramount Plus. And we really enjoyed Relic. Right? The two of us both really liked that movie quite a bit when it came out a couple years ago. The dementia horror?
Yes.
And I am looking forward to seeing how that woman sort of like tackles this story, because it talks about the people who lived in that apartment before Rosemary, I think, right? So there's a dancer who lives there and her experiences in the apartment complex.
Like a lot of people that, you know, are awarded jobs and positions, right? And they've proved that they've already done the job, right? And Relic proves right. That she's already done the job of being in a small confined space where you slowly unravel your sanity.
That's right.
Right. So Apartment 7A is exactly something that this director is capable of doing.
Well, the thing is that like these streaming services now are like one upping their Halloween game. So like they've taken Halloween and they've turned it into a month long extravaganza. So like Netflix, Paramount Plus,
which is great if we could stay on our goddamn horror TV game.
Or even just have the time to watch everything.
I've watched like one horror show a year at this point.
Well, I mean, these are like mostly like original movies, you know. So, but like, I love Rosemary's Baby and we both loved Relic. So I feel like this is like sort of like high on my streaming Halloween watches.
Yeah. So. I feel like Rosemary's Baby and The Omen should be a combined universe.
Anyway. Oh my God, I would love that.
Mm. Gregory, peck me. Next up, we've got The Invisible Man 2 with Elizabeth Moss saying that the sequel is closer than ever to happening.
And I know that Universal is trying so hard to get that like dark universe or monsters to like work.
Stop trying. You know what I mean? Like already The Invisible Man did not fit with any of the others. Nope, right?
It did not.
And it was much more a film with a capital F than they probably were betting on. And I'm hoping that that same director is coming back.
Lee Whannell? Yeah, I would hope so too. Because I feel like if it were anyone else's hands, it would not be that great. Mm. But so far, the movies in that shared universe they're trying to create was that weird mummy one.
Mummy, and then we had the gay Dracula one.
Renfield?
No, that's not in the dark universe.
No, it is. And apparently Renfield and Abigail have a shared universe that I didn't realize. Yeah.
All right, well, the first try at it was the mummy with Tom Cruise and Dracula with the gay actor.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And then Invisible Man. And apparently
Dracula
Renfield
Begins or something.
I don't even fucking know. It was all right. Dracula Untold.
Untold, yeah.
Yeah. So, and apparently Renfield and Abigail are supposed to be part of this universe, although they did not make that very clear.
Please no, because Invisible Man is way more filmy than those popcorn movies.
I still don't see how Renfield and Abigail sort of fit together, but apparently they do.
I don't care.
Yeah.
They really fit together. Tone-wise.
Tonally. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
And finally, Al Pacino and Dan Stevens are starring in an exorcism horror film, The Ritual, which has been acquired by XYZ Films.
Right. So XYZ is going to release this film theatrically all the way in 2025 and arrange international distribution at the upcoming Cannes market. Right. So this is actually based on a true story. So The Ritual follows two priests, one questioning his faith, which is Dan Stevens, and one reckoning with his troubled past, which is Al Pacino, who has to, you know, put aside their differences to save a possessed young woman through a difficult and dangerous series of exorcisms. The film is an authentic portrayal of Emma Schmidt, an American woman whose demonic possession culminated in harrowing exorcisms. Her case remains the most thoroughly documented exorcism in American history. And I'm really looking forward to this because Dan Stevens is horror royalty.
At this point,
and Al Pacino is Al Pacino.
That's right.
And for him to be attracted to a project like this seems kind of interesting to me. So I am definitely looking forward to this. This is something that they sent us specifically as a press release.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know what? Al Pacino doesn't have a lot of years left in him. And Dan Stevens is A, fucking hot, and B, like you said, horror royalty. I really enjoyed him in the two films that we saw in Overlook.
He's great. I want to have a Dan Stevens night where we watch like The Guest and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. He's good in so many. He's good as a bad guy, as a good guy, everything in between. He's so chameleonic.
That's right. He is a character actor for sure and just does really, really well anytime that he's on the screen, in my opinion. I really want to watch Legion.
Mm.
Out of all the things that I need to watch. You know what I mean?
And Downton Abbey.
Well, I've already seen Downton Abbey, and I love him in Downton Abbey, so.
Coming soon.
First up, we've got Interview with a Vampire Season 2. You've got to catch up, Robert.
I know. I was just talking about this with someone, and I was just, we were talking about some TV show, probably fucking Baby Reindeer. I can't remember.
And Chucky. We have to watch Chucky.
Mm-hmm. But I was just like, I don't, you know, there's things I need to watch. And they're like, what? And I was like, Interview with the Vampire for one. So I need to catch up on this before season two.
I feel like we're in the golden age of horror TV and like we're missing it.
We are. I don't know. I just have a hard time watching TV.
We're middle-aged and we're working.
I don't have time to watch a whole bunch of things.
When we get enough patrons and we can pay all of our bills,
yeah,
then we can quit our jobs and watch everything.
And watch TV all day.
Yeah.
Right.
We just need 1,000 more patrons. So
y'all get on that. Patreon.com/thefilmflamers. And I don't know. I just need my stories to be contained in like an hour and a half to 3 hours.
Yeah, sure.
So, but this looks incredibly well made. But I feel like liberties have been taken with the story.
Yeah. So everything's been shifted forward. They were like, what if Anne Rice wrote this book having taken place in 2024 mm-hmm. instead of 1974 or whatever, right? And so it's basically moved up all of that time. And so basically it's also moving up everything else.
Yep.
Right. And so all the stuff that was supposed to be happening in like, you know, like mid 1800s is now early 1900s, you know, the type of situation. And so it also makes it easier for them to make it in like modern New Orleans. Things like that.
Yeah.
Right. And now we're kind of like shifting over to Paris in the story. And this is the second half of the book, Interview the Vampire. And by judging some flashbacks looking stuff with Lestat, it's looking like also the show is maybe starting to segue into Lestat's point of view, which is what the Chronicles of Narnia, Riddick, Vampires, whatever the fuck it is, do anyway.
Okay, so we've talked about making that Nicole Kidman movie, but now I also want to make the Chronicles of Narnia, Riddick. My God, it would be amazing. I don't know. I mean, the one thing that I can say about this from the episodes that I've seen is that the production value is fucking amazing.
It really is. And the music's awesome.
So I am on board for all of that. And I liked the episodes that I watched with you. So I need to finish it. I probably won't be watching the season two like episodically, but I mean, when it's done.
Yeah, you'll be able to binge it. Do an hour or two session here and there.
Next up, we have a movie called Night Watch. Demons Are Forever. Demons Are Forever.
Not in a Supernatural James Bond movie.
Let's write that one too. I feel like we already have one.
So many things to do. This one comes out on May 17th on Shudder, and this stars Nicolaj Coster-Waldau, who of course was in. Why don't I want to say that like I'm blonde? Let's Coster-Waldau. Mr. Bongo.
Nicolaj.
Yeah. So he played Jamie Lannister on Game of Thrones.
Right.
And so this is actually a sequel to the 1994 Danish film starring him, which was actually written into a remake in 1997 by Steven Soderbergh randomly. And he was directed by the same guy. So like kind of like The Grudge, where it was remade by the same director who did it
for right.
it. So this is a sequel that takes place like 40 years later, which is incredible.
Yeah. Cause when I was reading that you wrote this, you know, in the docket, I was just like Night Watch. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen a movie called that before, but not anything Danish. It was an American film.
Yeah. And so this is about like an insane asylum or hospital or whatever. And the guy is on Night Watch. And there's also a psychotic killer on the loose, right? And maybe a little subtle supernatural stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously popular and classic enough to garner a sequel. So.
Or maybe even not so subtle.
Kind of makes me, this is so unique, right? To have a sequel done 40 years later with some of the same actors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, we saw it in Halloween. It's like, this is their version of Halloween or something, right?
Right, you're right.
And so, like, I need to see the original, and then I want to see this.
Okay.
So, and we can in basically 17 days.
On Shudder.
Mm-hmm.
Is the original going to be playing on Shudder as well?
I don't know.
Well, we're going to have to find out. However, I do love Nicolaj Coster-Waldau. it looks like a really cool trailer. I just don't like the title of this movie. But okay. Next up, we have a movie called The Exorcism, and it's coming out June the 7th in theaters, and it stars Russell Crowe.
Right. And so he is, I feel like he's really Nicholas-ing his cage with horror movies recently. Apparently, his the Pope's Exorcist movie was actually not half bad.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And I never saw that, and that was for last year, right? Yep,
I didn't see that one either.
Yeah, so I need to catch up. But his Road Rage movie was fucking excellent.
Loved it.
And I feel like people are sleeping on Russell Crowe right now. And guess what? This is actually a little meta, right? So he is actually playing an actor who is playing a priest who is performing exorcism, but he is the one that's getting possessed in the actual movie. So it's kind of a little crisscrossy, weird. And it looks kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of Russell Crowe. In fact, I was kind of like shocked how much I loved that Road Rage movie.
So good. You know, I do from time to time like to wrestle my crow. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I do want to go back and watch that Denzel Washington movie that was kind of his breakout role. Vindication or something. I don't fucking know. Anyway, he played like a robot killer sociopath.
Schenectady? No.
No.
Synchronicity.
Synchronicity?
Something like that?
Velocity? I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
One of those. It was good. He's like an AI amalgamation of all serial killers.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Virtuosity.
Virtuosity. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the one.
We should have done that in Fallen together. Damn it.
Well, in
hindsight. For a Denzel moment.
That's okay. We can do it again. And then we'll have a Russell Crowe moment because I would love to deep dive that Road Rage movie.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff, you know, and Gladiator 2 is coming out soon where I don't know, maybe they're going to parade his bloated corpse. Because he did.
Well, and bloated for sure. So, I mean, I'm not trying to like body shame people because Lord knows I'm a big boy. But Russell Crowe, I've seen Gladiator, and I remember when Gladiator came out, and I was just like, who is this big chunk of man looking all fine and shit? And he still looks good, but they had him in a hoodie in this like trailer. I was like, they are not doing him any favors with this goddamn costuming. He looks like a fucking pudgy motherfucker up in here. Russell Crowe, what happened to ye? So it's okay. I mean, I shouldn't be so vain. Or like judge people based on their appearance. But my Lord, Russell Crowe, what a change. Next up, we have a movie called The Watchers.
Which not comes... the Weight Watchers. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Poor Russell Crowe.
We're talking about trailers, stop though.
It. Okay. This is by Shyamalan Milan. This is M. Night Shyamalan's, one of his daughters, Ishana, and directed and written by her, I believe, and of course produced by her father. Mm-hmm. And this stars Dakota Fanning. This is in theaters in June. This already had a teaser trailer.
That's right.
This is the full trailer, right? And so you should check this out. It looks good. I know there's a fucking twist.
There has to be.
Yeah. And that's kind of all we could say about it. You just need to watch the trailer. It's full of atmosphere.
That's right. And, you know, we talked about a teaser on the Shooting the Flames, and I really liked that teaser. And now I'm even more interested in this movie. Out of everything that we've talked about so far leading up to like these summer blockbuster months, I am most looking forward to The Watchers and the next movie on our list, which is Maxine.
And this is coming out in July 5th in theaters. And this is the third of the Ty West trio with extra stomping
Mia Goth.
Mia Goth.
Just stomping all over, kicking people and shit.
Right. It kind of works for her, though. I'm getting real like Night Stalker / Showtime Showgirls vibes from this.
For real.
It's like the best of Paul Verhoeven, like mixed with Grindhouse, mixed with like, this is looking great, guys. So check this trailer out because it looks like they're finishing this trio with a bang.
I have been looking forward to this movie for so long because I really enjoyed X and I really enjoyed Pearl. And I want to see where the story goes. But this looks like it has everything that I like in horror, you know, like serial killer, giallo vibes, right? It's very, very 80s. Mia Goth looks great. And while we were watching this trailer together again, you know, for like the second time or third for each of us, Chris said, you know, it's going to be the best one of this trilogy. And I was just like, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot wait to see Maxine. So maybe the first one that I see in a theater. out of all that trilogy.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got Trap, which is another Shyamalan, and it's coming in August in theaters. I believe this was also written and directed by Shyamalan proper, Papa Shyamalan.
Papa Shyamalan.
But also stars another of his daughters, who is an aspiring musician, Lady Raven, I believe, in the film. Yep. And this stars, what's his face?
Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett of Penny Dreadful fame, as well as, you know, 90s stuff and early 1000s stuff. But it looks great. Everyone in the younger generations on the TikToks is going crazy for this trailer. Although I feel like if there's another twist that... maybe this trailer has shown too many of its cards. And it almost feels a little exhausting.
I feel like...
to me.
Shyamalan has maybe, like, just given up on twists. And he's just like, well, here's the trailer, y'all.
Yeah, I don't know. Unless there's a twist on a twist, you know, which is also exhausting in its own way.
That is super exhausting. I mean, the movie looks like it's
Are we supposed to, like, be rooting for this guy that's trapped? Like... even though he's a fucking serial killer, like maybe he's a psychic who's actually seeing the guy, or maybe he's like the, I don't fucking know.
I don't, I'm still,
maybe there's another twist, but the trailer really like shows maybe too much. It almost feels like I'm watching the movie, you know, and I don't like it when that happens. I'm hoping that they're still holding it close to the chest.
I hope so. Because I mean, the last couple Shyamalan movies that we watched, right? Like Old, I think was okay. It was an enjoyable film. It was all right. And I really liked Knock at the Cabin. So, I'm on board with this. I also like,
you okay? Went right in my fucking ear. You see it?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a bug.
Well, I knew it's a bug. I just used Kimberly, someone in Nebraska loves you postcard to destroy that bug that attacked me. My God, Kimberly, you saved my life.
Oh my God. So go see Trap.
Okay.
Did you just throw it to decompose?
Yes. With the rest of the corpses in here.
Last up is a movie that I have not been looking forward to, but now that Chris has shown me the trailer, I begrudgingly think I'm going to watch it. God damn it.
Yeah, me too. And that's Joker Folie à Deux, which is coming out October 4th in theaters. And of course, stars Joaquin Phoenix again as Joker, which I did not really enjoy. I loved it. The acting.
Yeah.
And the direction and the look and feel and everything of the first movie, but I did not like the so what of the movie.
Yeah.
I liked much better the answer to it, what I felt was an answer to it, which was Batman, right? Or the Batman, right? And so this is the sequel to Folie à Deux, to Joker, called Folie à Deux, and it stars also
Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga, right? And it could be a musical, a surprise musical, I've heard. So, and the trailer makes it kind of look that way. So,
yeah, it looks very La La Land-esque.
I was going to say like a horror version of La La Land, or like a modernized version of Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
Yeah. I mean, it's very like, you know, the golden age of cinema musical, the way it looks, right? There's this one moment in the trailer where Joker is like walking with these colored umbrellas above him. And I was just like, oh, fuck. Like, that is reminiscent of things.
Yeah. And, you know, Lady Gaga's not going to do anything that's not Oscar bait at this point. So
it's true. She really wants that fucking acting Oscar.
God, it's like her and Bradley Cooper have like this fucking thing with the devil where it's like one of them goes to hell and splatters instantly, like a la Ready or Not style.
I feel like when they were making A Star Is Born, they both like signed some pact.
Yeah.
And now they have to do whatever they can to get an Oscar. But this movie looks surprisingly well made and very, very good. And I love a musical. And God help me, I love Lady Gaga as an actress, even though when she first started acting, I was just like, bitch, please. And now I'm like, okay.
Bitch, please.
Bitch, please. So, Harley Quinn. All right. Come on, girl.
Do it. Well, I think that about wraps up this episode of Shooting the Flames.
That's right. And as always, we would like to read more comments and questions and emails and such from you guys, our listeners. So look for us on social media at The Film Flamers on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, X, all the places.
You can also email us at tiredqueens@filmflamers.com or call our hotline at 972-666-7733. Fill the gaping hole in our voicemails.
Bridge that gape.
Fully my dude. Russell my crow.
Like we said earlier, guys, if you are looking for more Film Flamers content, head over to patreon.com/thefilmflamers to get all of our bonus content and vote in the upcoming May 24 poll. Because like Chris said at the start of the episode, we got all kinds of content coming out for you this month.
That's right. Look forward to that top 10 jump scares and then that poll over there on Patreon for our A24 movies. Make us watch whatever you want.
Make us bridge your gate.
Bridge our gape.
Well, Chris.
Well, Robert.
I am fully gaped, and I need to go have some sweet dreams.
Can we stop saying that word, gape?
Yeah, I know.
Gaped.
Bye, glazed donut.
As bad as ointment.
Ointment. You might as well have called it a moist gape. Blah. Oh.